If you were to describe your life, beloved, since you became a child of God, would you describe it as a life of sacrifice, a life where you have poured out everything that you have, your time, your talents, your money, your possessions, poured out for Jesus Christ? Or would you say, no, I'm sorry, but honestly, what I've done is I've betrayed him over and over and over again. Oh, beloved, this message is for you today so that you're not ashamed when you see him face to face. Finish recording for us the discourses, the teaching of Jesus Christ. The Passover is at hand, and you and I have come to Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 1, it said, when Jesus had finished all these words, he said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days, the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man is to be handed over for crucifixion. Remember when John identified Jesus? He said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Jesus, our Passover, was about to be sacrificed for us. It was the final Passover. And as we come to this portion of Matthew, you want to mark once again the references to the Passover. I simply put a half circle in red over the Passover because it was the blood of the Lamb that caused the angel of death to pass over the houses in the land of Egypt. It says in verse 3, then the chief priests and the elders of the people were gathered together in the court of the high priest named Caiaphas. And they plotted together to seize Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they were saying, not during the festival. Now, the festival is the festival of Pesach, of the Passover. And so you would mark it in the same way, but you would also mark a time phrase because it's telling us when this is happening. He says, otherwise, a riot might occur among the people. Verse 6, now when Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, where is Bethany? Bethany, you can see it in the background. Bethany is over my right shoulder. I'm sitting near the promenade in Jerusalem, and it's a wonderful view that gives you a perspective of the city from the other side. And we move from the Mount of Olives over to Bethany. Bethany, when you're on the Mount of Olives, Bethany is kind of behind the Mount of Olives. And this is where Jesus would spend time because he was in the house of Lazarus. He was in the friend in with his friends, and this is where he was staying. And so it says, now when Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, he was visiting the house of Simon the leper. A woman came to him with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at table. But the disciples were indignant when they saw this, and they said, why this waste? For this perfume might have been sold for a high price, and the money given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you bother the woman? For she has done a good deed for me. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. Where is this incident taking place? It's taking place in the home of Simon the leper. And we know from the other Gospels that others are there. We know from the Gospels that this is Mary who is breaking this alabaster vial of perfume, upon Jesus' feet, who is anointing Jesus for his burial. Jesus goes on to say, in verse 12, it goes on to say, "For when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial." Now remember, the Passover is at hand. He is the Lamb of God. He's the Passover Lamb. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be crucified. And so Jesus is saying, she's done this in preparation for my burial. Truly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her. Now, why does God give us this? Why does Matthew include this in his gospel? Because he wants us to remember that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ, which is one and the same. He is the Son of David. He is the Son of Abraham. He is Yeshua. He is to be named Jesus, for he saves his people from their sins. He is Emmanuel, God with us. But he is the one who has come to lay down his life. Yes, he's the King. And yes, he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But before people can enter the kingdom of heaven, they have to have their sins taken away. So what he's doing is he's setting us up to see a contrast. He's going to show us in Matthew a contrast between this woman who pours out everything that she has and the one named Judas who has seen Jesus do all these miracles and is now going to betray Jesus. So he's going to give us a contrast in this chapter. A contrast that you and I need to look at. A contrast that we need to apply to our lives. Are you like the woman? Are you like the woman who was willing to pour out everything that you have on Jesus Christ while you have the opportunity? When you look at the other gospels, when you look at Mark, when you look at John, both of these gospels tell us that this perfume that she poured out on him was worth over 300 denarii. A denarii was a day's wages. So she is pouring out a whole year's income, so to speak, on Jesus Christ. The disciples are looking at it and they began to scold her. They begin to scold her because this is a waste. They're indignant at what she's doing. And yet Jesus Christ understands it perfectly. Jesus Christ knows that she is doing it. She is pouring out everything while she can and while she has opportunity, preparing for his burial. Well, let's continue in Matthew chapter 26 because I want you to see the contrast. In verse 14, because the one that protests the loudest, and the other gospels tell us this, is Judas Iscariot, who's going to betray Jesus. And he's the one that's indignant. And he's indignant because he would rather have her sell that perfume and take the profit and put it into the purse because the gospel tells us, Mark tells us, that he's constantly dipping into that purse. He's constantly pilfering the money and sliding it into his own pocket. So watch what God tells us through Matthew 26:14. Then one of the 12, named Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me to betray him to you?" And they weighed out 30 pieces of silver to him. You know, it's so interesting because here in Jerusalem at this time, I've held in my hand coins that date back to this time, pieces of silver. It's a coin with the head of a Roman on it. And this is what this man preferred, was a coin with the head of a Roman on it, 30 pieces of silver. Yes, it was a good sum, but he was selling out the Son of Man. He was selling out the Savior of the world. He was choosing the temporal over the eternal. His sight could not get by. He could not get past this life to look at the next. He was going to betray the Son of God. And it says in verse 16, from then on, he began looking for a good opportunity to betray Jesus. Now remember what we saw when we studied the Word of God. We knew that Jesus selected Judas, that he selected all of his disciples, and yet one of them was like a son of the devil. One was going to betray him. It says in verse 17, now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? Now, why is it calling it the day of unleavened bread? Well, if you have an inductive study Bible, at the end of the book of Leviticus, there's a chart called the Feasts of Israel. If you have a study guide that you've downloaded from us, you can go and you can look at that chart on the Feasts of Israel. The first, or the festival of Passover or Pesach, was Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. So it was also referred to as the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And they would cleanse their houses of all leaven in order to get rid of that leaven. Now, leaven is a picture of sin. It's a picture of what John the Baptist was saying when he came and said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Get things straightened out. The Son of Man has come. The Messiah has come. The King of the kingdom of heaven has come. Remember what John the Baptist preached? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, get ready. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. He said to those brood of vipers that were coming, bring forth fruit unto repentance. Well, the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread was to get ready for the Passover, to cleanse the house, get rid of the symbol of sin. As Corinthians says, for Christ our Passover has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Let us keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Get rid of sin. We'll talk about it more in just a minute, beloved. Welcome to Precept Ministries International. We're at our women's conference, and we have been studying Ready Today for what is coming tomorrow. And we have had a great time. We have had such incredible fellowship. But that fellowship has been around the Word of God. Because when you come here, what you do is you open the book. And we take you through a book of the Bible, or we take you through a topic. But you're looking at the Word of God. We have seminars to meet all your needs. But the fellowship that goes on around the tables, the prayer times, the singing, it's awesome. We wish that you were here. Why don't you come and join us at our next women's conference?
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
It was the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and Jesus was about to die for the sins of the world, beloved. And who was he going to die for? He was going to die for Judas, the one who betrayed him. He was going to die for the one Mary who broke the alabaster box and poured out everything for him. The thing that was going to make the difference is their response to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. This is what 1 John 4 tells us. Now watch, it's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. As I was telling you, this is when they would get rid of the leaven in the household, which was a symbol of sin. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul is dealing with a church that is not dealing with sin. A man is doing what even the Gentiles don't do. He's sleeping with his father's wife. And this is what he says. He says in verse 6, "Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? It's like yeast. Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are, in fact, unleavened." In other words, once we believe in Jesus Christ, once we enter into the new covenant, then what happens, beloved, is our sin is taken care of. For Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The Passover was at hand. Jesus, the Passover lamb, would be slain and pay for all the sins of the whole world. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 26. And in the light of what we have just seen, I think you're going to appreciate this passage even more. It says in verse 17, "Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?'" Remember to mark Passover. "And he said, 'Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is near. I am to keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. Now when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12 disciples. As they were eating, he said, 'Truly, I say to you, that one of you will betray me.' Being deeply grieved, they each one began to say to him, 'Surely, not I, Lord.' And he answered, 'He who dipped his hand with me in the bowl is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man is to go, just as it is written of him.'" He's going to die. He's going to die just as it is written. When that first Passover lamb was slain, it was a picture of the Messiah, the Mashiach HaMashiach, who was to come. It was a picture of Yeshua. It was a picture of God, our Savior. And he says, "As it is written, but woe." You want to mark the woe again like we have done in red coming down and colored brown. "But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." And Judas, who was betraying him, said, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." And Jesus said to him, "You have said it yourself. You know that it is you." And while they were eating, Jesus took some bread. And after a blessing, now he's gone through the whole Passover meal. They've celebrated that Passover meal. And in your study guide, you'll find out how that Passover meal is celebrated. But it says, "And after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body.' And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said to them," he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink the fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. This is the last time that he's going to mention the kingdom, because the king is about to die so that you and I might be part of his kingdom. But I want us to look for a moment at what he is doing, because what he is doing is he is fulfilling Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. It says, "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt." What's he talking about? He's talking about when he made the Ten Commandments, when he made the covenant of the law. "Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord." Now listen carefully. "But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. Before, the law was written on tables of stone, but now it's going to be written on tables of flesh. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord, know the Lord.' For they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord." And here's the bottom line of it all. "For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. What is Jesus Christ doing at that final Passover? In that room where he has desired to celebrate the Passover with his friends, he is inaugurating a new covenant. A covenant that will forgive our sins. A covenant that will take away our sins. Hebrews 10 says, "With the blood of bulls and goats you were not satisfied, but a body thou hast prepared for me. Lo, in the volume of the book it is written, in the Tanakh it is written, in the Torah it is written, I come to do thy will, O God." O beloved, as you listen to this, I want to ask you a question. He died for all, but have you betrayed him, or have you poured out everything for him? Which describes you the best? Are you a Judas or are you a Mary? If you're a Judas, beloved, you're going to perish, even though he died for you and paid for all your sins.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Hi, I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, "This trip is so much fun. I learned so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together." So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word where it happened. What a momentous moment this is in history. I don't think that we realize the significance of what Jesus Christ is doing in that upper room at the Feast of Passover, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread. For he is inaugurating a new covenant that was promised back in the days of Jeremiah, when the children of Israel, because of their sin, were about to go into captivity. He promised them that there was a day coming when he would forgive all their sins, when their sins would be paid for in full. Now that moment has come. He is the Passover lamb. And as he takes that bread and breaks it and tells them that this is his body, which is broken for them, as he takes that cup and says that this is the blood of the new covenant, he also makes a promise to them. And it's the last time that the kingdom is mentioned in the Gospel of Matthew. The promise is this. Let me read it to you again. He says, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new," now listen, "with you in my Father's kingdom." Judas is gone. He is with the 12, and he is saying, he is with the 11, and he is saying to them, "I'm going to drink the fruit of the vine with you again, and I'm going to do it in my Father's kingdom." They have left everything, and they have followed Jesus. They have believed that he is the Messiah, that he is the Son of David, that he is the Son of Abraham, that he is Emmanuel, God with us, and consequently, they are going to have forgiveness of sins. Oh, beloved, have you believed? Have you received Jesus Christ? Have you said, "I want to be done with my sin"? Have you said, "I don't want to betray him. I want to honor him for who he is. I want to pour out everything that I have for him"? I promise you that if you will do that, precious one, then when he comes in great glory in his kingdom, then you will hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I urge you, pour it out all for him.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.